Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, April 25th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you, so I want you to stay tuned for our episode, Color Your Life Happy, Speaking from the Heart. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I realize you have many other things you could do with your time. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others who can benefit. They can come over to the show page just like you, or they can follow the show, which means you'll get an announcement about the show, a reminder, or add yourself as a friend. In addition, you could follow me over on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. And all of that you can learn about on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. Now, some of you have always wanted to write a book, and I know that because many of you have asked me about writing a book and how to go about doing it. But you've hesitated for some reason. Perhaps you've been writing for a long time. I've met people who said, oh, I've been writing for years, and I have many pages, but somehow or another, they never got that book published. Now, if this sounds like you, and you're in Southern California, you have an opportunity to attend a 2.5-hour workshop created just for you. Now, in this workshop, we're going to cover a lot of information, from choosing your title, book cover, how to get your book finished quickly, how to market your book, get it printed, and so forth. This workshop is called How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. I'm going to tell you, most important of all, how to start earning money from your book before it's even finished. Now, there are two workshops, one on Tuesday, April 26th, tomorrow in Irvine, or one on Thursday, April 28th, in the city of Orange. Get the details and sign up over on my homepage, coloryourlifehappy.com. Space is limited, so if you're interested, sign up today. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from many fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all of those things which contribute to our lasting happiness. Today my guest is Barbara Seymour Giordano, an executive speech and presentation skills coach who has advised Fortune 500 executives, managers, and entrepreneurs on how to excel at the art of effective communication. Barbara began her media career as an assignment editor during the Gulf War at CNN in the San Francisco Bureau. When the war ended, she relocated to Los Angeles and continued down the news path, but this time with a focus on entertainment, working at E! Entertainment, TV's Emmy-nominated E! News Daily. Ready for a change, Barbara left news and put her energy and experience toward producing and directing videos for large-scale corporate sales meetings and events. In addition to being behind the scenes, Barbara has appeared on camera and shared her style expertise on many national and local television shows. She was a guest for a week on Live with Regis and Kelly, making over 5 lucky candidates looking for work. Her list of appearances also includes Fox's Good Day Live, as well as many other major television markets nationwide. With a knack for leadership, Barbara has offered more and more projects as a live events producer and creative director, collaborating and coordinating both with the client and production crew to create fun, illuminating, and inspiring theater experiences for all. Utilizing her multi-layered communications background, Barbara has drawn upon and combined her talents as a director, producer, writer, and public speaker to offer a unique 360 approach to speaking, coaching, speech coaching, writing, and directing. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Barbara Seymour Giordano. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so very much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to this. This is such an appropriate topic at this moment in time, I think, in the lives of all of us, and then right after the spring break holiday. So let's get started right away. What exactly is speaking from the heart?
Well, speaking from the heart, I think we've all done it and we've felt it when we've done it. It's such a satisfying feeling. We're really fully present in the moment, and our hearts really open up. We can feel it. It's just like, you know, when you hear a church bell being rung, that the way it resonates, it's like truth. It's so true and real. And so speaking from the heart is being our authentic selves. And authenticity is our true voice. So what is our true voice and what are the elements of it? Well, some of that is owning who we are in this moment. Okay? When we speak from the heart, we're fully present. So we accept what is. Most of the time, Flora, when we're communicating, we're thinking about the past, something that happened in the past, or we're concerned about what's going to happen in the future. Rarely are we present here and now in this moment. So that's a really huge part of speaking from the heart, is being right here and now without judgment. Okay. Another really important part is practicing humility or egolessness. The ego can really get in our way and muddy the waters, because ego is basically logic, and we live in a logic-based society, where we think logic reigns supreme. But that isn't so, because we're energy beings and we can feel each other's energy. So when we're speaking from the heart, we're sharing our honest feelings and we're revealing without regard for outcome. Right? So we're not concerned with, because I'm revealing, this better occur. Right?
Okay.
It's like a chess game. And sometimes when we're not speaking from the heart, we can be very concerned with, if I say this, then this will occur. Right? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, very definitely, where you're trying to plan the outcome or trying to have some control over it by what you reveal.
Yes. Yeah, and that's, that's that pesky logic. It's happened to me a lot, so that's how I'm able to speak about this. But that's that pesky logic, and logic is our ego, and ego is a trickster. It tells us, oh, but I'm so much smarter than the heart, right? So, but the heart will never steer us wrong. If we have hopes and dreams and desires and they're left unanswered, it can really, really bum us out and make us sad and depressed and, feel isolated. But speaking from the heart, being fully present in the moment, allows us to really let our hearts breathe and let us let our true voice out. And that is an incredibly liberating experience.
Now, how do we go about discovering our authentic voices? You know, how do we discover that? Because this makes a lot of sense to me, and yet we know that, as you just pointed out, logic gets in the way, the ego gets in there, and we want to be authentic. So how do we discover that?
Yeah, well, I have a story. May I share a story with you?
Sure, of course.
Okay. Well, I was the queen of logic, and my girlfriends and I, we laugh. We say, oh, we're all the princesses of overthink, right? We overthink everything.
Yes.
Right? And I think any educated gal can pretty much say, oh, yeah, I've been the princess of overthink. Well, my relationships were that way, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, this will be a great relationship because I had no problems getting boyfriends. I had no problems getting engaged. But I had problems, as I said to an 8-year relationship that I had. I said to him one day, I turned to him and I said, when are we going to go to the next level? Now, I didn't even really totally knew what that meant, but I knew I didn't have it. And that was speaking from the heart. And that authenticity of opening my voice and being fully, to having the courage to do it. So I lacked that courage. And because of that, I was attracting people that were just like me, that were afraid to totally open up.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the last relationship, I sat down and I said, okay, I have got to turn this around. And I became a student. And I asked myself one tough question before I began becoming a student, which was this. What is the one common denominator that all of my relationships had?
Hmm.
And you know what I found out?
What's that?
The one common denominator was me. Oh, that hurt.
Oh, no.
But what does that mean? That there was hope, that I could change the way I was approaching my own heart, because I had buried it. I was neglecting it. I left it alone to wither and die. And so I became a student, and I said, all right, I'm going to become a student of love, and I am going to begin to change the way I approach the world, and I'm going to open my heart back up again. And so that's what I did. And I said, well, what are the ways that I can do that? And one of the ways was to start journaling. Another way was to really listen to the way that I was telling my stories. And the story I began when I started to realize that I was designing my own life was that I started to say, you know what, if I meet him when I'm 90 or never, that's okay, because I deserve the very best.
Hmm.
And I really began to believe that. And the more I said it, the more I really felt it. Now, this is an important fact right here, because in the beginning, it feels kind of false when we say things. But the more we say something, the more we can really own it. And so I began to marry what I was thinking and really begin to feel it in my body. Okay? So the thoughts can really then turn into feelings. And if they become feelings, they become 10 times more powerful, because we've got to feel it. So I began to feel that. And then I started studying what couples that looked happy together look like, and how they interacted, and what nice guys look like, and all of these things. And then I joined eHarmony. Right, exactly. So I'm on eHarmony, and what I loved about eHarmony is I had to write a very detailed profile about myself.
Yes, yes.
I decided I have got to accept what is. I put my real age, which is crazy in Los Angeles. That's where I was living, right? Hollywood ages run wild there. But I put my real age. I said what I really felt. And I said, this is me, warts and all. Take me or leave me. The right one will come along. And I didn't include a picture.
Oh.
Great. Which is very interesting, right? And I was rejected by a lot of people because they wanted to see what I look like.
Right, right.
On Christmas Day, in my inbox came this very attractive man with silver hair, and he's very cute. And and I said, oh, I'm going to respond. And so I did, and we began corresponding to each other on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Now, I read his profile, and I had been reading all the other profiles too. And I was, when I read his profile, his voice was so vibrant and alive and passionate and mm-hmm. present.
Mm-hmm.
And he had written in warts and all. And I could see that, Laura, because I had been studying. And it didn't take me long. It was 2.5 months into this process. So I had one date before him with another person. And his profile was, you know, he was a stylish guy. And he seemed right on paper. It seemed a little boring in his profile. And I had a date with him, Laura. And guess what?
What?
It's exactly that. So what we write is who we are in that moment. It doesn't mean we can't change. We just have to have the awareness to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I then had my first date with Luis, who's my husband, today. And 6 months later, we were married.
Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And that sounds easy, but the awareness is painful because we begin to see the things we couldn't see before. So speaking from the heart, probably climbing Mount Everest is easier. So prepare yourself for that, because it's scary to reveal. Very scary, but it is rewarding, because now the connection grows deeper and richer and more profound. It is the going to the next level I had always been looking for.
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing your personal story, because I think that it's tough for people to really grasp what you're saying without putting it in a personal story. And I think all of us can relate to your story, whether we are looking for a mate or looking to enrich our lives with deeper relationships, even with our families and so forth. And I hear you saying that opening your heart is so important, because you attract to you who you are. Whatever you're like, that's what you're attracting. So if you don't like what you're attracting, like you said, the common denominator is you, is us. We have to each look at our lives and see, what is this we've created? And when we take responsibility, we can change it. That's the great news. That is great.
Isn't it? It's exciting. It's really, really, it's difficult. I won't kid you. But but eventually it becomes second nature. It we'll always be managing it for the rest of our lives. But it does become easier, and the rewards are the true rich rewards we're looking for in life. Love.
Yes.
Right?
That's true.
And harmony.
That's it. That's what we want. And thank you for sharing the path you took with journaling, for one thing. And then secondly, you said that you studied happy couples, couples that seem to have relationships like the one you wanted to have. And those are two key elements, because just this weekend I was attending an event, and I heard a lady joke with someone and said, have you gotten murdered yet? And she said, married. And so she was making a joke about marriage. And you know, she thought it was pretty funny that marriage was equivalent to being murdered. And I was
right.
Shocked to hear her say that.
Like, okay, your Freudian slip is showing. Right.
She did it intentionally, because in her mind, you know, that was a funny thing to say. But I was kind of appalled, and I thought, well, I guess she has a very skewed idea of marriage, and yet I'm sure, like all of us, that she wants love too. But the way she's perceiving it is going to either bring the wrong kind of relationship to her, or is going to push relationships away entirely.
And that's an excellent example, because I've said things, variations on that theme in the past, and didn't even realize the power that it had in my life. Words are powerful. They're the energy. They're like picking our wardrobe for the day, right? We wouldn't go into the closet or go to the store and buy a really ugly blouse and then put it on and say, this is great, isn't it? And yet some of the words we choose are that ugly.
Yes, yes.
And we pay for it in a different way.
Yes, we do. And there's absolutely no getting around the fact that we create our own lives. And I know that there are people who resist that, because I've had people say things to me since my book came out where I talk about creating your own life. I've had people say to me, but this has happened to me and that has happened to me, so how can you say that I created my own life? Well, it's how you react to those things and what you decide to do from that point forward that makes a difference. I am so delighted you shared this. And I want to give the listeners right here an opportunity to find out how they can excel and their own effective communication by getting in touch with you and learning more about your speaking coaching services. Could you tell us how to contact you?
Absolutely. Please visit me at proimage.biz, B-I-Z as in zebra, proimage.biz, and my contact information is there. My blog is there too. There's a tab that says blog, and you can read some of the things I've written. I write primarily for business, but I write also from the heart. And so all of these, while what we're talking about today seems personal, life is life, and business and life and personal are all together. And so these techniques apply to your life, which is multifaceted.
Yes, you're telling the truth about that, because it's kind of hard to separate the two. Once you start speaking from the heart, then you carry it over to business, personal. It works.
You have, and do you find, Flora, that people are actually starved for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're
very
starved. And they're so grateful
yes.
when you share from the heart. They really are. I want to jump to a situation that is dear to my heart, and that is once you're in a relationship or dealing with your family, and we just had a family weekend, why would I want to share with my family? Why would I want to open up how I really feel when I already know how they'll respond?
This is a favorite question. It's that's such a great question. They're all good, but this one in particular. Yeah, how many times have I said that myself? You know, mm-hmm. oh, well, why would I tell him or her? I already know what they're going to say.
Yes.
Well, because probably in the past, the way I've positioned it had a desired outcome. I was trying to manipulate the situation.
Okay.
When I share authentically, it goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, I'm not worried about the past, and I don't have a focus on the future. I'm right here and now. And the reason I'm sharing from the heart is that I want others to know me.
Hmm.
And unless I open up and share and allow others to know me, then I will continue to keep myself isolated.
Hmm.
Now, this is a very scary prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to say to the person you're opening up and sharing to, is, I'm a little scared, but I wanted to share this with you.
Mm-hmm.
If we can share our feelings from a place of neutrality without blame, the reception of the person across the table or next to us is going to be so completely different. Now, that's not why we do it. We do these exercises for us to feel more centered and more connected to the world and ourselves. This is all begins, all outward change begins within. So all the exercises that we do when we speak from the heart are for us first. And this is counterintuitive, especially to women. But it's counterintuitive. We're so used to taking care of everyone else, and it becomes sort of a routine. And it becomes thought, well, we have to do this. But it's really about taking care of ourselves first and trusting ourselves first and having the courage to make the changes and open our hearts, even if someone else laughs.
Because it gets back to not worrying about the outcome.
That's right. Because the gift is managing the moment and taking the internal risk. This is where the growth lies.
So regardless of the outcome, we have grown in the sharing.
We have grown, and our heart has grown a little bit bigger every time we do this.
Wow.
And eventually the people around us have a shift. Now, they could react many different ways. We don't know, really. But the way people act around us isn't our responsibility. This gets confusing, especially for a parent.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That, yeah, this gets muddied, but this comes from internal trust and having the courage to take the steps to make the changes. Because when we change, we are learning new steps, but the people around us want to dance the old steps.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Well, there could be pushback. There could be a whole myriad of reactions to the way that we're changing. But again, it's about us finding our internal compass and sticking to our North Star.
I love that.
It is not selfish. When we take care of ourselves, we take care of our family, we take care of our community, we take care of our state, our country, and the world.
Wow.
This is very, very powerful.
That's a big order. It's a powerful thing. And I love the fact that you said that all change begins within. It's with us that we have to start. I want to ask one more question before we run out of time, because you've talked about getting to know yourself. And we've heard this from our Bible teaching. We've heard this in many settings. What does it mean to know yourself?
Wow. And I've heard it a million times. I remember the first time I heard it was in college. A professor said it to me, and I thought, oh, that's just great. What does that mean? And it took me 20 years beyond that to kind of get there. But and I'm still, it's a daily process. I'm still learning about me, and it's a delightful surprise. Mm-hmm. So it's uncovering the stones of our lives. We've, over time, we've buried who we are, like I was saying earlier with logic. And it's about letting our true voices come out, which is what we were talking about in the beginning. It's having an awareness of who we are. First, we have an awareness that there is a problem in this area. Mm-hmm. We take the responsibility, which you've heard that word broken up, response ability, our ability to respond.
Right.
The responsibility. And we have the courage to make the change, because we have the awareness now and we're responsible for it. We're accepting that it exists. The courage and faith together, because they have to be together, mm-hmm. or we wouldn't take the leap, to forgive the things that we think have happened to our lives to slight us, and then we take action. Now, by doing these steps, we start to let our internal voice emerge because we have the courage to make the change. And so knowing yourself is really about this repetition of steps to mm-hmm. to letting go of what you think you know mm-hmm. and letting you be who you are. And you can feel it in your body. I talked about that too. Mm-hmm. When you've really nailed something and you know you've done it well, mm-hmm. it didn't come from a place of ego.
Mm.
It came from a place of being, just being who you are.
Yes.
And that, by being present in the moment, and that's something that can be practiced with eating a meal with no TV on, just sitting there by yourself, not talking, and just eating and chewing the food. This is practicing just being in the moment.
In the moment, yes.
This will help your authentic self to emerge, and that what is what it means to know yourself, is you start to realize your strengths and the areas that you could start to improve upon. And those areas are endless, the areas that we have to improve upon. And for me, I'll be doing it until the very end.
Yes,
and that's an exciting prospect. Yeah, it's very, very exciting. And the more you get into that mindset, you start to see your world opens up because you begin to know yourself. And as I heard a woman say once, you actually meet yourself for the first time. And that's the ultimate goal from speaking from the heart.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. I'm so happy that you pointed out a couple of things that are helpful to me and I'm sure to the listeners. One of them is when you are about to open up, to admit that you're scared, you're a little scared, because you are. And I think it helps to preface your statement with that. And then just staying in that moment, I love the example you gave about practicing even eating without any outside stimulation. I think one of the biggest problems in our society, in our culture, is overstimulation, is having so much going on while we're eating, while we're driving, whatever, that we can't even hear ourselves. We can't hear, we can't get in touch with the universe because we've blocked it with so much sound and noise.
It's so true. It's all this, as I call it, enemy chatter in my head, on my Twitter, my Facebook, my
That's right. Like, that's right. You can't hear even the divine message when it comes through.
Oh, that's true. And it's waiting for you to find it.
It's waiting. So
right?
I
love
that.
Married, it can't find a way in.
Exactly. Wow. We are near the end of today's show already. So I want to thank you right now for being here, Barbara. You have shared some very vital information that's going to make a difference for those of us who take it to heart and speak from the heart, who bring out that awareness, have the courage to make a change, the faith to forgive, and then the willingness to step forward and take these actions. Thank you so much for sharing this with us, and especially for sharing your own personal story.
Thank you, Flora. I had a wonderful time.
Thank you. I want to invite listeners to join me again next Monday, May 2nd, 2011, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another insightful show. You're going to enjoy it, so be sure to put this on your calendar. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California. This is Flora Brown saying have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.